So we're talking about Zion and coming to Zion. And we said, what are the unique benefits of Zion? One of them we have already dealt with is healing. Then we dealt with prosperity. And we are now dealing with the subsection on deliverance from the realm of demons and also deliverance from evil people. And this is very important because in the church, in the visible church, from time to time, there are evil people that come in. And it is very important to know how to handle them. And as far as possible, for us not to deal with them, but rather to, from time to time, to leave it to the Lord. And that's how we have been operating. But in Zion, because of apostolic culture, there's an anointing that expels the evil people. So those who are evil cannot attend. This is one of the marks of Zion. You'll find in the past all kinds of people used to come to your church. Now those people can't come to your church. They can't cross the threshold of your church because there are already antibodies in your church that expels these Sanballats, these Tobias, these Imenuses and Fergaluses, so that they cannot come in. Therefore, our prayer is not everyone will come in, but those whom God has chosen to come in. That none of them that God has chosen will be left behind. But sometimes the evil people come in. Later on, I think they call them the Kakos elements, if you go and read the book of Revelation. And this is the unique benefit of Zion, that it is self-maintaining, that you don't have to discipline people. There's some people try to get in, and I knew from the very beginning something was wrong with them. But I thought, maybe I'm wrong, but after 3 months I was proven right. When I saw the antibodies beginning to function, to expel certain dangerous people. Now, this is only a foretaste of what is going to happen in this whole nation. Therefore, you don't have to deal like the way the CRL Commission wants to deal with these aberrant elements. Because when Zion manifests, these elements get automatically judged. Just like Elymas the sorcerer, how he was struck with blindness, and Simon the sorcerer was dealt with in an apostolic environment. Now, you recall the prayer last night by Dr. Ronnie when he focused on Zion and dealt with Psalms 2 and connected it with Acts, the book of Acts. You'll notice that in Zion, that means that the early church had quickly ascended to a Zion position. But what happened after that was it descended from the Zion position. By the time you come to Corinthians, the descent was taking place because of strife and contention. And by the time you come to Galatians, the descent also was taking place because of legalism. So there are several things that cause the church to go into descending mode. And now we as a people of God, 2000 or 1900 years later, need to recapture the ascent and come to that location, which is the most powerful location on the planet Earth. Zion is a spiritual location. And so we were using types and shadows, and I looked at the tabernacle of Moses, and we said that there are differences on the earth right now. We know the tabernacle of Moses, it had the brazen altar, the brazen laver, and then you came into the sanctuary, the candlestick on the left, the table of showbread on the right, golden altar of incense, then the Ark of the Covenant. The brazen altar represents churches that are focused on the cross. And everything is about the gospel of salvation. Then we need to move beyond that, and you got the brazen lava churches, which are teaching churches, churches that are focused on the Word of God, because you know the brazen lava was mirrored brass, and the Word is our mirror, showing our uncleanness at the same time helping us to cleanse ourselves. Then when you go beyond, on the left-hand side is a candlestick, and these are churches that know how to make the light shine through good works. They are salt churches. And then you got the table of showbread churches that concentrate on fellowship. So they're very strong fellowship-based churches. Then you get the golden altar of incense churches, which are churches that are focused on prayer, intercession, and worship, and praise. Hillsong would fall into this category where it's concentrating on praise and singing. Now you need all of this, but this is not the position of perfection. If you look at it from a cross section, then the brazen altar would symbolize pastoral churches or parish churches. The brazen lava would symbolize teaching churches. The candlestick table of showbread would symbolize evangelistic churches. And the golden altar of incense would symbolize prophetic churches. And all of that has been necessary. But the Bible wants us to move, God wants us to move to perfection. And God has categorically stated in the early church that is not restoring the tabernacle of Moses, but is restoring the tabernacle of David. And the tabernacle of David only contained the Ark of the Covenant. It was a flimsy tent structure erected on the mountain. But the important thing about the Ark of the Covenant is it could contain every piece of furniture that was there in the tabernacle of Moses. So when you look at the Ark of the Covenant, there's a blood sacrifice there, symbolizing the brazen altar. There's the brazen lava there, symbolizing the principles of sanctification, cleansing, that's connected to the Ark. There's a candlestick there, is symbolized by the Shekinah glory. There's the table of showbread there, which is reflected in the manna. There's a golden altar of incense there, because ultimately the incense from the altar went underneath the veil into the Ark of the Covenant. So the Ark of the Covenant covers everything. So David, in his wisdom, did not restore the brazen altar, brazen lava. He was just concentrating on the Ark of the Covenant. And our journey today is about Ark of the Covenant. And it's not going in, it's coming out. Veil has been torn in the New Testament for us to come out, for this church, this Ark of the Covenant church, to manifest on the earth. That's why we must study what the Ark of the Covenant is all about. And I don't want to go into the details of that. The Ark of the Covenant is a double symbol. It is a symbol of Christ, the head, and a symbol of Christ, the body. So the Ark of the Covenant is both a symbol of the presence of the Lord, and it's a symbol of the body in the sense of the body coming to its dominion and rulership. Because the Ark of the Covenant had a crown on it. Every place the Ark of the Covenant went, it went with great victory. There was no such thing as failure connected to the Ark of the Covenant. The end time church with its greater glory, and when the Bible says the glory of the latter house is greater than the glory of the former house, in the Old Testament, when you said glory, you meant Ark of the Covenant. Therefore, when the Ark of the Covenant was kidnapped by the Philistines, they said the glory departed, and they called it Ichabod. So when we talk about the glory of the latter house, the glory of the latter house is the Ark of the Covenant configuration, not in gold and shittim wood, but in a people. It's very important for us to understand this. Therefore, the prophet said, the time will come where you will no longer inquire at the Ark of the Covenant. Because the Ark of the Covenant has now become a people, and that people has to manifest in the mentality of dominion and rulership. That people have to come out. Now, if you study the most holy place, it was four square. That means its length was equal to its breadth, was equal to its height. And therefore, when you come into the book of Revelation, you see the holy descending city, which is the ultimate ultimate manifestation of a victorious church, the Bible says his length is equal to his breadth, is equal to his height. That means the final restoration of the tabernacle of David is complete, and it is a descending reality coming out from the presence of the Lord. Now it's very important to realize that this church was seen before, but not in all its grandiose splendor. It was a first century church, and the first century church is now the glory of the former house, and the glory of the latter house is unfolding on the earth now. So this church is manifesting, and when the Ark of the Covenant came to Jordan, Jordan parted. When it came to Jericho, the walls of Jericho fell down. When it came into Ashdod and the cities of the Philistines, they were struck with boils and there was a plague of rats. The Ark of the Covenant wreaked havoc in the camp of the enemy. And I want you to know this church that is coming is going to flatten the walls of humanism, secularism, modernism, postmodernism, capitalism. All the enemies of Christ will be flattened just by the presence of this church. That's why this church has to rise. This church has to manifest. And you cannot rise and you cannot manifest if you do not know the theory behind what I'm saying. That's why we cannot be an ignorant people. We must understand the Word before the Word can incarnate in our lives. So this is not for ignorant people. This is not for what has paralyzed the church. What has paralyzed the church is superstition and ignorance. So this church wreaks havoc. And when this church came into the temple of Dagon, Dagon's temple shut down. The Bible says, no one crossed the threshold of Dagon anymore. That's how powerful this church is. This church has the capacity to shut down alien institutions on the earth. To shut down operating systems that are illegal. That means when this people emerge and start walking into places, you must know that it is the Ark of the Covenant walking in. You are the Ark of the Covenant. When you show up, anything illegal, anything alien to the purposes of the kingdom of God, anything not of God, has to shut down. Without you even saying anything. We understand that this is a church of utterances and decrees, but there comes a time when this church does not have to say anything. Just by showing up, things that are foreign and alien just implode. I want you to know the present implosion of ISIS. ISIS is imploding. It's because of the emergence of a special class of people on the earth. And I want you to know what God says of this people. God says of this people, before you call, I will hear. This is a highly specialized people that's growing up. And we are coming from the holy place, the most holy place. And in every city, we are praying that every city will have Ark of the Covenant churches. I want you to say the number of Muslims that are converting to Christ is unprecedented in the history of mankind. And they're happening not because of evangelists and apostles. They're happening automatically. So end time evangelism is going to change when God begins to change the heart of men and women just by the presence of this kind of church. So when this church shows up, illegal structures shut down. And also the Bible tells us when this church came to Bet Shemesh, and Bet Shemesh was a location of Jewish believers, the Bible tells us they did something that they were not supposed to do. They opened the lid and looked into the ark and thousands died. So this is death not only upon the wicked, it's death also upon the ignorant in the house of God. That's why you cannot allow yourself to be ignorant. My people perish for lack of knowledge. This is an information age. This is a reformation age. You got to know how to access information. I'm quite surprised that pastors write letters to me asking me for information because they don't know how to use Google. And then I just, in 2 minutes, I copy something from Google and I send it to them. And they write back to me and says, "What a powerful revelation. You are a man of God." It's so easy to become powerful amongst ignorant people. You don't need a concordance today. Google is your concordance. You can get everything you want on Google. Just go Google Pastor Joey Munyon. You see his name comes up. Any of the pastors, just Google them. You'll get the information. So, we must not languish in ignorance. And we must understand the prophetic dimension of how the church is evolving and how the church has changed. We must understand that. We're not operating like the way we used to operate. And we cannot go back to obsolete mechanisms. Amen? You can't bribe God. You can't manipulate God. You gotta know how to position yourself. God is no respecter of persons. And so when the Ark of the Covenant left the territory of the Philistines, it came to rest in the house of Abinadab. And so we know that David is a man after God's own heart, and his immediate concern was, how do I bring the Ark of the Covenant back to me? And so he went and he fetched the Ark of the Covenant from the house of Abinadab in ignorance. Here's a great David who's a man after God's own heart, like many pastors in the charismatic season. There is no doubt that they were men after God's own heart. And of many holy, many righteous men in the charismatic movement, in the Pentecostal movement, good men, but they were ignorant. And David was ignorant of the protocol. And the Bible says when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, the Bible says the ox stumbled and Uzzah reached out to touch and to steady the ox and to steady the cart, and he touched the Ark of the Covenant. And the Bible says God struck him dead on the threshing floor. I want you to know, God kills people. God killed Ananias and Sapphira. God killed the sons of Aaron. And you must understand the sovereignty of God. Yes, God is our Father. Yes, God is our friend. Yes, God is love, but God is also a consuming fire. And Uzzah dies, and the Bible says, great fear came upon David. And David retreated. And let me read the story for you, 2 Samuel chapter 6. The Bible says, again, David gathered all the chosen men of Israel. The number is very significant, 30,000. 30 is the number of maturity. And you need mature people to bring the presence, this kind of presence, the Ark of the Covenant presence. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwells between the cherubims. And they set the Ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the Ark of God. And Ahio went before the Ark, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fair wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. So David was very concerned about inaugurating musical worship, which is very important. And you can see our music team is growing. Come on, give them a hand. Give them a hand. They're growing. Amen. God is sending us professional musicians. Amen. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the Ark of God. See, God cannot be bribed with music. And David was displeased because of the Lord, and he made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the Ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the Ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertains to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. So we see there are other casualties. You see, Uzzah is a casualty. He dies on the threshing floor. And later on, when you study the movement of the ark, you find other casualties, like Mishael. Mishael, when the ark was proceeding into the city, Mishael was standing by the window and watching. Amen? She was watching the whole procession through DSTV. Amen? She was a professional spectator. We call her one who is missing in action. You need to recognize, listen carefully now. You need to recognize the movements of God in your city. Don't be a spectator. Don't hear from other people on Facebook. Don't listen to their tape. Come on, if your eyes are tuned, your heart is tuned, you realize the Ark of the Covenant is here in Phoenix and is moving. And you better be part of the crowd that's moving into the purposes of God. Make yourselves present. And when you come, don't stand at the window and look. Don't stand outside and look. Become part of the procession. And Michelle couldn't understand why David was so excited and why David was so moved and why David was dancing and singing. Some people don't understand our zeal for God. Some people can't understand why we lift our hands and why we sing and why we praise and why we bless the Lord and why we shout and why we say amen. They get upset. Well, if you knew what the Lord did for us, if you knew what the Lord did for me, if you knew what the Lord did for David, how David was running from cave to cave, wilderness to wilderness, how he had javelins thrown at him, how there were assassins sent after him, although he was anointed. And now when David is seated at the throne, he does not just accept his prestigious position. He humbled himself and knows where he came from. Remind yourself from time to time where you came from. And how the Lord delivered you from the cave. How he delivered you from the wilderness. How he delivered you from the javelins of denomination. How he delivered you from an evil network. How he delivered you from evil people. And how he positioned you on your throne. So when it's time to worship, you must worship. When it's time to lift up your hands, you must lift up your hands and praise the Lord and bless his holy name and glorify his name. Because he said if you don't do it, he'll raise up the stones to do it. We must not be a quiet people. I will not apologize for getting excited in church. If you're a Manchester United supporter and you get excited when Mickey scores a goal, then don't get upset when I am excited when Jesus scores a goal for me. How many goals did Jesus score for you? How many times did he bless you? Some of you here, you should have died long ago. Some of you were crippled with disease. But the Lord in his goodness touched you, delivered you. So when you come into the house of God and there are musicians in front playing the drums and playing the guitar,
You got no right to be quiet. The ark is moving. When it's time to sing, we sing. When it's time to shout, we shout. When it's time to praise God, we praise His name. I serve Him out of gratitude because I know where I came from. I know where David came from. His own brothers despised him. Come on now. There was a time where people despised the anointing on your life. But look where you are today. There were times you didn't have two coins to rub against each other. Today, you are paying your own ticket to go to the nations. There was a time when you couldn't afford bus fare. Today you got a four-wheel drive. Look what the Lord has done. So don't get upset when we get excited. And we want to praise God. When I go to Cape Town, my sons there, they get very, very excited because they know where they were. So one of them came to the conference and I was speaking and he kept standing up. You are shouting, amen, bless the Lord. I knew where he came from. He was a gangster. He was nothing. The Lord elevated him. The Lord gave him cars, gave him houses. So every time I talk, he is jumping, he's shouting. So another pastor there, he told him, shut up and sit down. The pastor went home. He got so severely judged. I can't mention the details. Don't despise someone else's zeal. God is about to do some extraordinary things in your life. There's some things He's doing for some people I can't talk about. Because I know about envy and jealousy. We're still not in Zion yet. We're in the procession. We're on our way. We're on our way. I'm so excited. I've never been so excited like this before. We're on our way to the city of David. If you don't go, don't hinder me. I'm on my way. Praise the Lord, I'm on my way. We're on our way. And we're going to this location. We're going to Zion. And someone just died. When this ark was moving, someone just died. He died because he was ignorant. And fear gripped David's heart. David said, hold on, hold on. He said, stop me. You just know thousands died in Beth Shemesh. Now this fellow who died was not an ordinary fellow. He was a Levite. Possibly a Kohath. His father Abinadab for some 20 years did not train his son in the ways of the Lord. So David began to think what he should do, and he saw a Gittite, Obed-Edom the Gittite, possibly of Philistine origin, related to Goliath. He reckoned, what I'll do, put the ark in his eyes. Let's check what happens, you know. I'll put the ark in the Gittite's house. Obed-Edom the Gittite won't move any further. Took the ark, put it in Obed-Edom's house. Why does the message came to me? God has blessed the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Now, the Bible says, God has blessed Obed-Edom and
his household. Now, you've got to read that thing carefully now, because then there's a second reference to it in verse 12. God blessed Obed-Edom, blessed his household, and it puts it there so clear for all of us to see. It says, bless him and all that pertains to him. That means God bless everything that was even remotely connected to him. Why would God do that? Now we get traces of this through his name. His name means, Obed means servant, and Edom means red. It means servant of Edom. But if you go to the Jewish encyclopedia, it means the servant who honors God in the right way. And Edom means one who causes others to blush. That's the definition according to the Jewish encyclopedia. Now, yes, Obed-Edom the Gittite, he served God by putting his own life in danger. Who would dare take the ark into the house when there's a death taking place? And if you were standing there, you would say, what kind of a God is this? But Obed-Edom the Gittite did not offer any protest. He just submitted to David. He says, you can bring the Ark of the Covenant into my house. I don't care if I die. You must understand how dangerous this is to have the Ark of the Covenant in your house, because some of you, your wives don't know what's happening. And if your wife is sweeping the room where the Ark of the Covenant is, and she accidentally touches the ark, guess what? No wife. If you have children in your house who are undisciplined, and you took the Ark of the Covenant into your house, guess what? No children. Obed-Edom's faithfulness and risk caused David to blush with shame. I hope that your faith will cause others to blush with shame. That you can take the risk. Oh, Obed-Edom was not scared. Listen to how he serves. He serves by saying nothing. He just serves. He knew how to be an excellent servant. He was not Adadezer. Adadezer is a noisy helper. This guy was helping without making any noise, without any protest. He's not the kind of guy in the church who comes and say, Pastor, why didn't you call me to pray in the name I approach? I know everything that offends pastors. Why didn't you call me? Not so with Obed-Edom. He serves silently. He serves in obscurity. We too must know how to serve. You must know how to serve the Ark of the Covenant. And how do we serve the Ark of the Covenant today? Jesus said, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. So we serve the Ark of the Covenant by serving other people. See, your church cannot be a singing, praying church only on Sunday. What do you do Monday to Saturday? You must serve people. And you must serve them for free. You've got so many people in your church. How about getting some people to clean the neighborhood every week? Some people in your church, I really love that. They're waiting for you to lay hands on them and commission. That's how much of authority you have. If you say, go to your church and say, I feel God wants some of you to clean the neighborhood and God will speak to you this week, so next week you come and tell us, I'll guarantee you'll get about 5 or 6 people. So stop blaming the municipality, because this planet does not belong to the municipality. It belongs to my Father. And our Father said the earth belongs to Him. The earth and all its fullness. So when I'm cleaning the neighborhood, if someone stops and asks, what are you doing? Well, I'm cleaning my Father's property. How about getting a team in your church to collect clothes for the poor? How about having a team in your church to go out and pray for the sick? Listen, Pastor, they are waiting for you to commission. You don't have to do it. Just lay hands and send them. There'll be a team in your church. They'll go out, they'll pray for the sick, and they'll come and testify how the sick got healed when they laid hands. How about raising a team in your church to feed the homeless and the poor? How about getting a team in your church to donate blood? How about getting a team in your church to help the elderly? Get a team in your church to open a free clinic. Get a team in your church to build houses for free. Get a team in your church to tell the people to donate the second-hand cars to your church so you can give it to someone who needs it. One pastor from 2006 to 2017 gave away $100 million out of his church. Probably listed as one of the 100 most influential pastors in the U.S. Those simple acts. See what had happened, the Pentecostal charismatic season damaged us. They had many good things damaged us. Now you've got people who are under your authority waiting for you to lay hands on. And you do this, you'll change the city, you'll change this nation. You're demonstrating then the Ark of the Covenant is with you. See the need and fulfill it. Now I said to you that Obed-Edom was a Gittite, but that may not be 100% true. Because scholars argue intensively about whether he was a Philistine. But there is a possibility that he could have been a Philistine. But when you go deeper into the scriptures, you find out that Obed-Edom was actually a Levite who comes from a place called Gath Rimmon. And Gath Rimmon was a Levitical city that was assigned by Joshua. So the people that came out of Gath were called Gittites. They were not necessarily Philistines. So Obed-Edom was actually, they believe he was actually a Levite, and if you study Joshua 1:20 onwards, you'll come to realize that he belonged to the Kohaths, the clan of the Kohaths. Levi had 3 sons, Kohath, Gershon, and Merari. And these 3 were the clans, and out of the Kohath you get Korah. So Obed-Edom was a descendant of Korah. And Obed-Edom was actually part of the clan that was responsible for gatekeeping. You can go read that in 1 Chronicles chapter 26 verses 1 to 4. In fact, Obed-Edom and sons were all gatekeepers. Gatekeepers in the tabernacle. And this was a very influential position. It was not like the position we have today with gatekeeping. A gatekeeper was entrusted with keys. A gatekeeper
was allowed to scrutinize your offerings. Because when you came to the gate, the gatekeeper stood there to check out your offerings. So if you brought a donkey for an offering, the great gatekeeper will warn you not to enter the tabernacle because you were sleeping when Moses was giving the law. Because the horse or the goat was not part of the offering deal.
I could imagine how many people Phoenix would have been killed already.
A gatekeeper was there to check whether you were bringing your tithes, offerings, first fruits. It was not Moses' job or Aaron's job to check that out. The gatekeeper checked all those things.
Wish we had those gatekeepers today.
So if when you read porter, gatekeeper, doorkeeper, all of those are the same terms, and they refer to those with this prestigious function of guarding the gates. A descendant of Korah, Kohath. And later on when the ark was moving, Obed-Edom was called a gatekeeper of the ark. And the ark had no gates. How can you call him a gatekeeper of the ark? His job was to go behind to make sure no one would touch the ark.
David was putting all these protective measures after he studied the book and realized that he had violated the protocol.
So it is possible that there are four Obed-Edoms in the Bible.
The first one is Obed-Edom the Gittite, possibly a separate individual. The second one was Obed-Edom from the family of Korah, a descendant of the Kohath clan. But it's possible that both of them are the same. The third one is Obed-Edom from the clan of Merari. And you can read that 1 Chronicles chapter 15 verse 17 to 18. He was a son of Jeduthun, tribe of Merari. The fourth Obed-Edom is mentioned during the reign of Amaziah, who was in charge of the treasury. So the important thing about this Obed-Edom, the Bible says, the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, said, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertains to him because of the ark. Now, you must understand the Lord blessed his household. That means, and the Bible says everything that pertained to Obed-Edom, that means his dog was blessed.
How do you know your dog is blessed? When your dog chases after a cat. You know your dog is blessed. But if you see a cat chasing after your dog, your animals are not blessed. His cat was blessed. If there was a mouse on the property, the mouse was blessed. Because the Bible says, all. Blessed all. His crops were blessed. His mango trees gave mango trees in season. His fig tree gave fig tree in season. There were no parasites. You see, a lot of us only look at how God has judged the Philistines, how God killed Uzzah. Oh, God, judge Michelle. If you get the protocol right, you'll be blessed beyond your socks. Because God is a God of blessing. This apostolic season is about blessing. Zion is about blessing. The time to favor Zion. The set time has come. All the messages pertaining to Zion. How about how God has planned to bless you? When God started with Abraham, God said to Abraham, Abraham, I will bless you. Why? Because God knows if you're not a blessing, you can't bless others. So God wants to bless you. And God blessed Obed-Edom. God blessed his crops. When I read this, I said, Lord, prove to me the ark is in my house. And I tell you, I took my first fruit of my guava tree. I gave it to Dr. Ronnie. Let me tell you, it was very hard to give the first guava. This guava is a sought-out guava. And is hidden from human sight. So when you come here, I'll take you and show you the wrong tree. I tell you, this year I had guavas the size of a bumble marsh. The horticulturist tells me he has never seen guavas like that. You come and see my pawpaws, he's blessed. You come and see my chili trees, they are blessed. My bananas are blessed. Where did you see 120 bananas in one bunch? I took Joseph Matera, I showed him the other banana. He got shocked. He had never seen banana like that in the world. Why? He came to Obed-Edom's house. You take the apostolic message into your house and you take it right. Take it right. You will get blessed. My maid is blessed. I wanted to buy a house for her. The day I was going to tell her I'm going to buy a house, she came to me and said, Doctor, you won't believe it. They gave me a house for free. She's working for me for 25 years. She's not a maid. She's my daughter now. Everything in your house will get blessed. This apostolic season is about blessing. And our God wants to bless you. Speak to Segi Governor. There's no way he could afford a house. With the offerings in his church. Came to him and said, come and see. I want to take you and show you this house that God has given to you. I went there, I got a shock. I could give you many other testimonies. You take the Ark of the Covenant into your house. You cannot be unblessed. God's plan to bless you is deeply connected to the Ark of the Covenant, is deeply connected to Zion, is deeply connected to the Church of Dominion. He'll bless you when you come in, bless you when you go out, bless you in the city, bless you in the country, bless your basket, your kneading bowl. He'll bless you when the enemy comes against you one way, he will flee seven ways. Yes, he will bless you. He'll bless you so much that you will have servants. So that you can keep servants in charge so you can come to the meeting. I've got servants working for me so that I don't have to get trapped with any secular work. While I speak to you, I've got many projects going. I'm not there, but the projects are being taken care of. I take people, I show them, my workers come on time. And they don't rush off. They linger. And why? It's because of the household of Obed-Edom. You must be a fool not to want the Ark of the Covenant in your house. You must be a fool not to want this apostolic message. Obed-Edom's wife was blessed. How do I know that? Obed-Edom had 62 sons and grandsons. He was so blessed, he had a lot of sex. Some pastors lied to me, said, no, I don't like sex. God created marriage relationships for you to enjoy. A
the Obadiah was very busy after the ark came into the ark.
He was not fasting and praying anymore. He was feasting. He was enjoying his wife. His wife was enjoying him. A wonderful relationship was taking place. The Ark of the Covenant had come into his house. Yes, sex is wonderful within the confines of marriage.
Obadiah was enjoying himself. Blessed. Didn't need any counseling. Didn't need any visit to the psychiatrist, psychologist. Didn't need a TV.
He was so blessed.
Come on now, some of you really have to get blessed. Some of you have to get blessed. I'm praying for you to get blessed. All of you must get blessed. Every area of your life.
Now I wondered why God didn't give us specifics concerning the delineation or the separation of the Obadiah.
Very perplexing. Why didn't tell us this Obadiah was that Obadiah? No, it didn't. Because God said he blessed everything that pertained to Obadiah.
That means if you were living a 1,000 kilometers away from Obadiah and your mother accidentally named you Obadiah, you would get Obadiah's blessing. Just because you got the name. That's why you have to be careful what names you choose for your children. What names you choose for your church. Don't go call your church Ichabod Ministries. Don't call your son Judas. Don't call your daughter Jezebel. No, there are good names to which blessings are connected. David is a good name. John is a good name. Josiah is a good name. Obadiah is a good name. And God blessed everything. Everything that pertained to Obadiah and his family. Why? The ark coming into his house was the presence of the Lord coming into his house. The Bible says God blessed Joseph because God was with Joseph. God blessed Hezekiah because God was with Hezekiah. God blessed David because God was with David. When God is with you, it's impossible for you not to be unblessed. Therefore, I want you to challenge God. Because I need you to be wealthy. I need you to have good marriages. I need you to have good social cohesion. I need you to have a high IQ and a high EQ and a high AQ. I need you to be mentally and physically blessed. Why? Because the world to take. And therefore you have to be blessed. And God starts with that. That is a law of first things. If you are not blessed today, you have to speak to the Father in this house. When I say Father, the Father of heaven, the Father of all fathers, as you have gathered here, because he wants to bless you. And the way he wants to bless you is the same way he wanted to bless Obadiah within 3 months. Within 3 months. So when we're working with other churches, we can say that the Ark of the Covenant came in yesterday, 16th of August. So count 16th of August, give it 3 months. It comes to 16th of November. That's exactly 90 days. And the number 9 is a number of perfection. And I challenge you, and I put God under pressure. I said, Lord, within 3 months. Within 3 months. Everyone that's taken the Ark of the Covenant. Within 3 months. Lord, we're not taking the brazen altar. Lord, we didn't take the brazen lava. We didn't take the candlestick, not the table of showbread, not the golden altar of incense. We are taking the Ark of the Covenant into our houses. And Lord, we want to serve you and serve you by doing that which is right. And our servanthood must cause others to blush. We are the true Obed-Edoms. We are the true Obed-Edoms. Within 3 months, three is the number of oneness. It is also the finish. Because the Aaron's rod budded, flowered, bore fruit in threes to finish the dispute on leadership. The three feasts to complete, to bring Israel to completeness. Jonah had to be 3 days in the whale's belly before he was delivered. Three floors to complete the ark. Elijah laid 3 times on the child to complete the resuscitation. In John chapter 17, Jesus prayed 3 times for the oneness. 3 times Jesus asked Peter if he loved him for completeness. Jesus died at 3 o'clock and declared it is finished. There are 3 hours of darkness from midday to 3 o'clock before it is finished. There are 3 courts to complete the tabernacle. So therefore, this is not an accidental number. This is a number of the finish. And it started yesterday. It started yesterday. And God is going to finish something in you. You that have been faithful. You that have been doing that which is right. You that have been serving the ABC family. And you have been committed. Just sit down. I want you to catch this. Sit down. I want you to catch this morning. Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One will be born to you, will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the 6th month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, your male servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leapt in a womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out in a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. When Mary met Elizabeth, Elizabeth was 6 months in the womb. That means Elizabeth's baby met with Jesus, the Ark of the Covenant. And there was a jumping in a womb. 6 months. That means in 3 months' time. In 3 months' time, the baby is going to be born. And I say to you, in 3 months' time, there's a jumping in your womb right now. In 3 months' time. In 3 months' time, you have been waiting for the Lord. Some of you have been waiting for 20 years. Some of you have been waiting for 30 years. But I say to you in this Kairos, I declare to you, 3 months. Everyone say 3 months. Now listen carefully now. I want you to get this thing. This thing has to happen in 3 months. It must happen in 3 months. For some of you, it'll happen today, but that's a different message. It has to happen in 3 months. And why can we say that? Why can we do that? It's because the blessings of Zion are meant for Zion. They're not meant for anyone who is not in the geographical location of Zion. This man, Obed-Edom, goes against the grain of scripture because he's outside of Zion. Not even in Zion. He's 1 step before Zion. I'll submit to you. We're not really in Zion yet, but we're one step before. One step before. And so we got to know how to bring the blessings of Zion, which is meant for the next generation, into this generation of pastors. How do we bring it from there to here? There is a way. Tell your neighbor, there is a way. Let me give you the way of our Heavenly Father. In Romans 4:17, he says, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That means God has a unique prerogative. He can call those things which are not as if they were. This is the unique divine attribute of our Heavenly Father. But I got good news for you. The Bible says, as He is. Not so am I. There was never a we company to claim the divine attribute of God. But today there is. We can call those things which are not as if they are. In fact, it was done in the Old Testament. Elijah saw there was a drought. And he called rain a thing that was not as if it were. Elisha looked at the Shunammite woman. He called those things were not as if they were. The Shunammite did not have a child. He called it out. There was famine in the land. Abundance was a thing that was not. Elisha called it out. Listen, if there was no Elisha, if there was no Elijah, we have no right to claim the scripture. Thank God there's a company on the earth gathered here today that can call the blessings of Zion. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love life will eat its fruit. So I want to eat it. I want the things that are not. I want the things that were kept for the next generation. I want it now. And how do I call it? I don't call it by just speaking. That's one way of calling it. I call it by my... I call it when I serve like Obed-Edom. And the impossible becomes possible. I want to show you a scripture that the theologians hate. But God gives us those scriptures. Listen to this scripture. Isaiah 45:11. Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and His Maker. Listen to this. Ask me of things to come concerning my son and concerning the work of my hands. You command me. I don't know whether you got that. I don't know whether you got that. This is the only scripture in the Bible where God says, you can command me. And He makes it there. He puts it in, you got to read it carefully. He says, concerning my sons and the work of my hands. Paul comes along and says, don't you know, you are His workmanship. You are not an ordinary person. Even if you sleep in church, you're not an ordinary person. You're just a son of God who's tired. But you are His workmanship. And God gives us, we have it on good authority. God said, you command me. Hey, that's a scary scripture. That's a very, very scary scripture. But I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to command our Heavenly Father according to His word. The Bible says He has exalted His word above His name. So I command, Lord, we command as Your sons that the blessings of Zion, all the blessings of Zion, you said, Lord, the inhabitants of Zion will not be sick. So therefore we issue the command. You said, Lord, that your sons will be prosperous. You said, Lord, that no evil can come near our dwelling. You said, Lord, nothing can touch us if we keep ourselves. You said, Lord, that the path of the just will shine brighter and brighter under the perfect day. You said, Lord, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. The Lord has to perfect that which concerns you. And he can't perfect it without first blessing. Death and life in your tongue. Call those things that are not as if they were. Command him. Blessings. Why you want to be blessed? You got work to do. You got nations to touch. Lives to change. So Obed-Edom was blessed. 3 months he was blessed. One day there's a knock on the door. Obed-Edom. David is in the outside. He wants the ark. Will you give him the ark? Imagine if it was someone like him. No way, the ark is not here. And Obed-Edom said, David, I dare you to come and touch the ark. I dare you, David. Here's a singular characteristic of a righteous son. The ark that is in his local church, he releases it into the sea. He doesn't want just a local church to get blessed. He wants a city to get blessed. And that's why we come together. Even with the Nehemiah Project, we want to see our city blessed. And I want to see you blessed. I want to see your churches blessed. And we declare that and continue to declare that. Come on, stand with me. Stand with me. And everyone say, 3 months. Oh Lord, we pray that you'll hear our cry. 3 months. Release all the blessings. All the blessings in heavenly places, Father. According to the promise of your word. Where it says it is impossible for you to lie. Your word will not return void. We shall hear of the outstanding testimonies in the days ahead. Lord, we call those things that are not. Lord, we call forth finances. Finances that your pastors never had. Money that they never had or never could imagine. I pray that they will come into inheritances. An unprecedented wealth in the name of Jesus. We call forth healing. We call forth mental health, emotional health, psychological health, social health. Spiritual health, that we would be able to give ourselves to prayer. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. We call forth those things that are not. We call forth healthy marriages. Our marriages will not be on rocky ground. Lord, will not be in a place of thorns and thistles, but will be upon the rock called Jesus. Come, Father, download those blessings. We are waiting. We are waiting in great expectation. In great expectation. Because it is your sons that are crying out to you. So our hearts are open. And we look to you. From whence cometh our help? Our help comes from you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.